Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group with another exciting edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today, we have Chris Maloney with us here today, our Director of Sales Operations from Grunder Landscaping Company. First time for Chris on The Grow Show. We're going to have a great conversation around sales. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since taking walks. For several years now, I've walked a local nature preserve by my house. It's a 3-mile trail that I do. Sometimes I run a little bit of it with my earbuds in, and I listen to an educational podcast. And I have to tell you, a lot of good has come from this. It's good to detach from work and learn. Maybe you should go for a walk and listen to The Grow Show. Now on to this week's edition of The Grow Show with Chris Maloney. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you ended up here at Grunder Landscaping Company. It's a little bit of a non-conventional path.
Correct.
Because you don't have any experience in landscaping prior to getting here, right?
None at all.
So talk a little bit about your path, what you did before and how you ended up here, please.
Absolutely. I worked in the upper retail management. I worked for a company for 23 years.
Journeys,
the
retail.
Correct. Start off in Dayton, Ohio, ran many states. My last adventure was up in Canada for almost 10 years. I was running half of Canada, North Dakota, South Dakota. So a lot of traveling, a lot of time on the road. But I learned a lot of things, not only about myself, but people, how to motivate people, how to manage people from distances, things like that. So in all, it really helped to make me a better person as far as management and expectations and how to set those expectations and hold those expectations.
Exactly. One of the things that I have realized in watching you at work, and you're really starting to find your stride here, it's just been so cool to see what you've been able to do and help us grow by getting focused on sales. But Journeys Shoe Stores, it's retail operation. It's
transactional.
But the people that you were working with, your employees, were very similar to the employees that we have in terms of a lot of hourly workers on the production side, but managers that were salaried, they were working on sales goals. It was still sales.
Correct.
So even though the product that you were selling at Journeys and the product we sell here are different, the concepts that we're using, they're really very similar, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's about customer service, finding out what the customer wants, what can we do for them, and kind of finding that match. Yeah, it's kind of simple.
And you had some challenges, because I think if I remember it correctly, you had like 23 stores that you were responsible for?
At one point, I had up to 26 stores.
26 stores.
I said half the country, so it was a lot of distance.
How did you do that? Like, you made personal visits, but was it a lot of Zoom? Was it a lot of phone calls? Because, you know, this isn't a little company you were working with. It's a lot of pressure to make sales.
You had to learn. I said, you know, first I want to be everywhere once, and I came to realization that that's not going to happen. So you have to empower people. You have to find those people who want to promote themselves through hard work, and I kind of use them. You know, so I had key managers in certain pockets. You know, if I was 5-hour flight away from a store, I'd have somebody out there who I can kind of be that go-to person if I needed something.
Okay.
Yeah. So just empowering the people.
What are some of the things that you did at Journeys, the skills that you learned there? What are some of the things that you learned that you've brought over here to managing our sales?
I think it's really consistency.
What do you mean by consistency?
You know, what's the company, you know, what is their expectation? What is the goal? And really kind of supporting the company, you know, sales, tactics, anything. So it's really about support, not even the company, but the people themselves.
One of the things that I have heard you say, just numerous little morsels when I've seen you working or in the sales meetings, and I don't go to all sales meetings anymore because, quite frankly, I'm not needed. You got it. But I know that there was a lot of things that we talk about, like being nice, something we've talked a lot about on The Grow Show.
Sure.
Somebody could come in your store at the mall. They could look around. And I think there's some kind of statistics you had, or there was some kind of philosophy you had that they might come back if they didn't find what they were looking for, right?
Absolutely.
And that's selling. Like, yes. Not everybody that calls Grunder is like, all right, I'm calling you. I'm going to write you a check for $50,000. Just go do whatever you want to do. That's not what happens,
no,
right?
No.
How are some of those things that you learned in retail, what are some of the things you've tried to teach our people here with regards to that and the relationship building? You know, our things are bigger ticket items. Yours were, I suppose, anywhere from 100 to, there's probably some that are 500. I mean, they had some.
Yeah, depending on
the kind of shoes, correct. Doc Martens, Timberland, some of the other fancy correct. Shoes. What were things that you saw there that have helped us get better?
I think it's really about, like you said, it's about the client interaction. Number one is getting on board, you know, finding out exactly what they want, what we can do for them. And really just kind of holding that line as far as if you see something, say it to them.
Okay.
You know, what I mean by that is if they're looking for something and if it's not the right fit, or an example, if they're looking for something in the backyard and it's not going to work out, we need to be upfront and honest right. with them and let them know like, hey,
right.
this probably won't work. We can do right. this, but you're not going to be happy.
Right. Well, let's get into the meat and potatoes of selling here. How many salespeople do you manage?
Nine. Currently.
Nine people.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about a typical day for you as a sales manager, what this means. We have a lot of people that listen to the Grow Show. I know you're fairly familiar with what we do in the Grow Group.
Correct.
But we have a lot of folks that listen to the Grow Show that they may be $1 million-a-year company and the owner's doing all the sales. So they may think, well, I don't want to listen to Chris. I mean, look at Marty. He's a fat cat. He's got this all figured out. These things that you're doing are applicable whether you have one salesperson or nine. Tell us a little bit about your daily efforts and what you do. And then I'd like to have a discussion on the one-on-ones that we have and the sales meetings.
Okay. Go to the first question would be, what do I do? A typical day. The generic question would be, is there no typical day?
Okay.
You've got to stay consistent. You know, I have a calendar and I have to realize that I need to make sure that I prioritize things. First thing I always do is check my emails and when the salespeople get in, I have quick, you know, touch base with them.
Do you touch base with every salesperson?
Correct.
Do you really? Correct. Okay. Our offices are in different parts of the building. I'm not with you all the time.
Yeah, so. Upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that. Tell me what you just a check in, like, how are you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, how was your evening? What did you do last night? To, hey, what's on your agenda today?
So you go around to every single person and say hello.
Correct.
Every day. That's awesome.
Correct.
A little bit more on your typical day. What else do you get in?
Really, it's about what I can do for them.
How so? Like,
all right, hey, what are you working on today? Are you having any issues? Hey, I need someone to go out there and help me out. Hey, I can be that person. What time are you going to be there? I'm open. To diagnosing problems. You know, if they have something where they can't figure something out, hey, you know what? They had a similar issue last week. Go talk to Brad. You know, getting people to kind of work together to kind of solve those problems where they can kind of use each other to help make a sale or create, you know, come to the solution of a problem.
You're definitely a people person. I enjoy seeing you. I see you just about every morning. You put your lunch in the fridge because you're a guy that brings your lunch, I think. And I always say hi. You always have something nice to say to me. You never walk by my office without saying hi. You're a people person. And so as I'm listening to this, this is sort of making sense why we've improved some of this with your interpersonal skills. I guess if you check in with someone every day and you're engaged in their work and you're in that sales environment where you can kind of hear what's going on because we have open offices,
correct.
You're picking up things that you're able to connect the dots later.
Absolutely.
You don't have a very large sales goal, and that's intentional. Why?
My job is to learn the process and help others.
Yeah. So. And you have a few accounts, which I think is smart. It lets you get engaged. I know I've seen some cool things. Like I went out on a job with you to show you some ways you could sell that. And you were so like, oh, thanks, man. It was the landscaping part I was helping you with.
Right.
But I think it's good that a sales manager like yourself has some accounts, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Things change so quickly. Different scenarios come up. And just really learning the process and knowing the process. How can I help somebody else if I don't know myself?
Yeah, and it would seem to me like that would maybe give you empathy for, because we'll get into this here in a minute, we're really pushing on our team. And we'll get into this order taker versus order maker philosophy.
Absolutely.
But it would seem to me that doing the sales like you are would make you very empathetic. I'm positive our sales team respects me because of all the things I do, and I don't do a whole lot of things really well, but sales I know I do well.
Absolutely.
And we've been able to help a lot. And like when I have conversations with you, Chris, and this is what's cool, I have to compliment you, like you never look at me like, what are you talking about? You're always like, oh yeah, we did a similar thing in Journeys. And you know, the relationship building was big because somebody might come in the store, but you know, it was important that we took care of them because they might not find what they want in the rest of the mall and they'll remember the nice person, all those things.
Correct.
On a weekly basis, I know that we do a sales meeting every Tuesday at 9. Yes. Give us just like the Reader's Digest version of what that sales meeting is like.
Yeah, it's about consistency. What is the message? You know, I give them an outline of things.
You have an agenda that you follow.
Okay. Absolutely. So whatever things are important that week, what we're working on, but it's really based upon the message and the individual goal. How are they doing versus their sales goal? And then we talk about how that creates, you know, how are we doing compared to the company.
And I know something cool that you've implemented. Each salesperson has to come into the meeting and they have to tell everyone what they do.
Yeah, they give their personal sales goal out, where they are on the week, month, year to date. They break it down, how much you have to sell per week the rest of the year.
So they may say, my goal is 2 million. I've sold 1.1 million to date. I have 900,000 left
Correct.
To go, which means I have to sell 40,000 a week.
Correct.
And they're saying that out loud. Do you feel like that's been helpful?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, at least to me, because I know that they know where they need to
yeah.
be.
And I think it's hard. Like, if you just give salespeople goals, but there's no why to them or there's
Absolutely.
No tie back, it's kind of like you just wander aimlessly. Like, why are you selling all that? Well, because if I don't sell it, Chris, and then if, you know, Chris and then Marty and maybe even Seth might put a boot in my butt. Well, why are you doing it? What's the significance of it? I mean, I just think when people understand the why and they kind of see it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it is cool because we have a couple salespeople this year that are just, they're really performing well.
Yes.
And then we have some that are, they're newer, they're catching on. You get ahead when you sell maintenance because you sell those accounts up front. The folks selling projects, it's a little bit more consistent.
Yes.
But I think it's a little bit of positive peer pressure. I don't go to all the meetings.
Yeah.
I go to about one a month. And in the meetings that I don't go to, we used to do them on Teams and you switched that up. We do it all in person now. And I frequently hear laughter coming out of the room. So I know it's not a contentious environment. And I also want to tell you folks about something Chris did last year. So I went to one of your sales meetings and I didn't know what to expect. And you said something like, okay, it's trivia time. And I'm like, trivia time? What are we doing? Come on, Chris, we're wasting time. I'm saying this to myself. I'm not saying it
yes,
out loud.
Yes.
And then tell all the listeners and viewers what you did.
Basically, you broke up into groups. We had teams of two, and I just read off questions.
Yeah.
And they had to write down the answers. And at the end of the questions, we tied up who won, and they
yeah.
got a small prize. But it's really about getting the team to work together and really kind of building that camaraderie between the people.
It took like 5 or 7 minutes. I remember it was like a question about a rock band. There was a question about who was the only undefeated NFL team. There was a question, I think you had a tree question in there. I mean, you just had, and it was fun. Like, it took 7 minutes and we were laughing.
Right.
And there was this little friendly spirit going on.
Yes, yes.
And you've done some other things, like having people talk about what they do for a hobby or what are you going to do this weekend.
That's right.
I think you've done something that it's probably my intensity kept me from doing it. Like, you've humanized it. Like, these are people here, we're working.
Right.
And I've learned that from watching with you.
Appreciate that.
So anything else on that sales agenda that would help folks that are listening today on the Grow Show powered by Steel?
Yes. We, like I said, we stay consistent with the message, the numbers and itinerary, fog itinerary. But at the second half of the meeting, we only do about 45 minutes to an hour of each meeting.
So the whole meeting is never longer than
45 to an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first
Why?
I'd rather than being out there selling.
Yeah. Yeah. We're telling them to sell and then we're in there in a disorganized. I mean, if you can't get it across in 45 minutes to an hour, something's wrong, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Carry on.
The second half of the meeting, everybody is responsible for doing a presentation. And what we did at the beginning of the year, we took certain topics that we wanted to talk about, training, instead of having another day of training, taking them out of the office, taking them out of the field where they can't sell, we combine it into one. What that consists of is a message that they need to talk about. They do a PowerPoint presentation and they present their area of expertise to the entire sales team.
The last meeting that I went to a few weeks ago, Brad, does more on the residential side than the commercial side. He has a degree in horticulture, joined our team, worked on the crew, and that was intentional, got tremendous experience.
Absolutely.
He did a presentation on a spring cleanup.
Yes.
And he talked about the importance of notes. And it was, I'm not going to say it was an exciting presentation. It didn't have a bunch of glamour on the screen or anything. It was the nuts and bolts of what a spring cleanup is.
Very informative.
It was very informative. And I think it was good for him to be able to present in terms of his confidence.
Absolutely.
And it was good for others to learn from him. And in the process of doing that, I know we have a new young salesperson. He's probably like, oh, well, Josh, now new salesperson, probably knows Brad knows cleanups well. I'm going to ask him because we have a bonus, and I don't want to get into what our compensation is, but we have a bonus that they all get if we hit the goal together, right?
Yeah,
and that's the biggest bonus that we have.
Yes.
So that spirit. Anything else on the sales meeting that you want to share? Anything that we've done wrong or that, you know?
I think it's about staying consistent. And
okay.
Like I said, you can't say you're going to have a sales meeting and then cancel.
Exactly.
So you need to stay consistent with the message and prioritize what's important and numbers.
Exactly. And then the other big thing that you have done that, you know, we all, Seth and I always knew it was very, very important, but we were never able, in full disclosure, just so folks know, Seth and I are not perfect. We were never able to get in any kind of consistency on the one-on-one meetings with the sales team.
Correct.
Good with the leadership team one-on-ones, but not good with the sales team. Just we were growing, and that's why we needed your help.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the one-on-ones and maybe just give us a brief Reader's Digest version of the agenda of what those look like.
Yeah, it's really about the review. You know, we
is it
about
once a month you do it?
Every month.
And it's about a half hour or an hour?
Depending on 45 minutes, it's going to be up to an hour.
And it's you sitting with them?
Yep, in a room by ourselves.
Okay.
Kind of open agenda. Things I talk about, number one, let's review last month's performance, where are you at on the year. I have some things that I go over. What properties, you know, what are some of the big rocks they're working on? What can I do to help them out? Then I give them time to what questions they have, what concerns, and we kind of talk about things. And I like to end them on something by giving them maybe a little advice. It could be something that works for me. You talked about taking a walk. Every day when I get home, the first thing I do is
take a walk
to kind of clear my head out a little bit.
Right.
Writing things down before I go to bed to kind of clear my head so I can sleep better. Little things like that. Things I've learned in the past.
And I'm older than you, but we're within striking distance of one another. You have a lot of experience. And I think sometimes, I don't know if you ever struggled with this early on in your career, like I felt like I didn't always say that stuff because I thought I was being a nag or I thought I was, you know, telling them stuff that I'm not their dad, so I shouldn't be telling them that.
Correct.
And what I've come to realize is you should be telling them that.
Right.
Like, there's a pretty good chance they don't know that.
Absolutely.
And then here's the other side. You're the boss. So, like, this is what I think you should be doing. I'm going to tell you.
Right.
I mean, I hope that comes out right, but that's just, like, kind of what I think about that.
Right.
Okay. The order taker versus order maker. What are we working on there?
Making a sale versus taking a sale. I try to break it down as simple as possible. You can sit in the office and wait for that phone to ring.
Right.
And guess what? You're going to make some sales.
Yeah.
But if you really want to make sales and increase your sales volume, you need to get out there and make a sale. We do a lot of networking events, follow-ups, things we've had past clients that we've worked with. Hey, what can we do for you? And the biggest thing that we've really been working on, Marty, is enhancements. You know,
When
we're out on someone's property and they're asking us to do something in their backyard, well, if we see something on the side yard or the front yard,
right?
You know, people look at us, we are the experts.
Right.
So it's our job to let them know, hey, this is how we can make your property more beautiful.
We've talked about this. I've told the sales team the story of my doctor. He has to tell me things once in a while that I don't want to hear. Like my blood sugar level was too high last year. I made some changes. It's great now. Mm-hmm. You know, they are looking to us for professional advice.
Correct.
We do not push on our people to sell something someone doesn't need or want.
Absolutely.
You've even heard me say, if I catch you doing that,
absolutely,
that's a problem.
Absolutely.
We are not making our money that way.
Yeah.
But I also think that clients want to know what's possible. And we know of a couple clients. One of them came to my house for a fundraiser. He's one of our biggest clients. I followed up with him a week later, thanked him for coming to the fundraiser. And I said, how are we doing over there? He's like, well, I love you guys, but I want my yard to look like your yard. Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, Marty, there's not one thing out of place in your entire yard. It's amazing. My wife and I were looking at it. I want my yard to look like that. And I feel like you guys are afraid to tell me, like, you may not think I want to spend the money. He goes, I want to spend the money.
Absolutely.
I want to do that. Now, that's a rarity to have a client like that.
Absolutely. Everybody values something.
Yeah, but I think it is important that we realize that we're the experts. Like, yes. I don't want my doctor saying, I don't want to tell Marty about this other blood test he could take because it's another $300 and he'll probably think I'm trying to just make money off him.
Right.
I can say no.
Absolutely.
What other input do you have with that? Like when you were at Journeys, did you ever tell your people? I mean, how did the add-ons and the upselling and stuff work with that? Is there any of that that we could glean from that?
To me, in a retail aspect, is about true selling. Again, people walk into a store, I want this. It made it very easy. But what we do, hey, you're spending $200 on these shoes. We have this shoe care kit that will make those things last longer.
Exactly. Right.
So it's kind of the same mentality.
Right. You sell a new landscape. Why would you not want to take care of it?
Absolutely.
Right. So it's that's what I'm saying. Like, it may seem crazy that we hired somebody from Journeys. I don't think we were crazy at all because what Seth and I have realized is if you keep hiring people from the same pool, from the same industry, you don't get new ideas.
Correct.
I mean, you have brought a ton of ideas and you've mentioned consistency more than anything. Obviously, that's what made you so successful at all when the Journeys Corporation was that consistency every week and how we performed. The economy is something that, you know, everybody's got an opinion on it. It certainly was easier. Second half of 2020, 2021, 2022, I think the first quarter last year, it was questions were like, when can you start? Could you please do it?
Right.
It's a little different now. We've had to make some of them, but consumers are still having trouble finding people.
Correct.
And we are still selling a lot of work.
Absolutely.
We're just having to dig a little deeper and look, right?
Yes.
You know, we talk all the time at Grunder Landscaping folks about everyone's a salesperson. And I think that's something to talk about with the team, the way you drive your trucks. I'm proud to say Grunder Landscaping is not a hard product to sell. We do great work.
Absolutely.
But the more people we can work with, the networking that you're doing, all those things make a difference. Any other words of wisdom or anything that maybe we should cover or a question I forgot to ask you before we wrap it up?
I just don't overcomplicate things.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big believer in keeping things simple, consistency. You know, you hold that line, and as long as you're, you know, managing to the expectations of the company and don't falter from that, things will be good.
No, it's been great having you here. What's on the horizon do you see for Grunder Landscaping and for Chris Maloney here?
Growth.
You
know, my job is to help the company grow, and that's what I'm going to do.
Well, you've done a great job. You're a good man.
Thank you.
Chris, it's a joy to work with, folks. We're very fortunate. We've been with Chris Maloney here on The Grow Show, powered by Steel. We've been talking about sales. Chris has shared with you some ideas that I hope you will use into your business and improve it. And again, whether you have one salesperson or nine, or maybe you got 40, I think a lot of the concepts we shared today can be used.
Absolutely.
We're going to bring you back on sometime in the next 6 months, okay?
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro that you might know. Thanks for joining us this week on The Grow Show. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.